Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, January the 16th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we can continue our study today of the events that are taking place around us. We recognize that your desire is to inform us and to prepare us for the time to come. We ask that you would fill us with understanding that we might live and act according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today I'd like to take a look at an article found in the National Catholic Reporter website. And it has to do with the relationship that has developed between the president and Vladimir Putin. Now, of course, we've made the point in the past that his relationship is not the only one that is intriguing. And so the article that is found in the National Catholic Reporter, published August the 8th, 2018, and the writer of that article is Jack Jenkins, that's J-E-N-K-I-N-S. The title of that article is "The Russian Connection, When Franklin Graham Met Putin." The title again, "The Russian Connection, When Franklin Graham Met Putin." As I said before, it's in the National Catholic Reporter, published August the 8th, 2018. Written by Jack Jenkins, and the title once more, "The Russian Connection, When Franklin Graham Met Putin." Here's the article. When President Donald Trump stood beside Russian President Vladimir Putin in Helsinki in July and said, "I don't see any reason why it would be Russia who attempted to influence the 2016 election," the subsequent firestorm of criticism included liberals as well as prominent Republicans. "I am a Tea Party conservative that will never change, but Trump was a traitor to this country today," tweeted prominent conservative and former Congressman Joe Walsh. But there was one group that kept uncharacteristically quiet: the president's evangelical advisors. "Let's pray for POTUS in these key meetings," Franklin Graham said, who heads his late father's Billy Graham Evangelical Association. After Trump and Putin press conference, Graham declined to critique the president, who would later walk back his remarks, only praising him for pursuing peace above politics. There are good reasons why some Christian right leaders are less than eager to address Trump's attempts to warm relations between the U.S. and Russia. For years, American evangelicals have cultivated ties with Russia, highlighted by a 2015 meeting between Franklin Graham, son of the late Billy Graham, and Putin in Russia. Those ties are now facing scrutiny as the day that Graham tweeted, news broke that the Department of Justice had charged Maria Butina, a Russian national, for allegedly lobbying without registering as a foreign agent with the U.S. government. Authorities claim religion was a part of her scheme. Among the channels she was attempting to exploit, according to her indictment, was the National Prayer Breakfast. Founded in 1953 with help from Billy Graham, the Prayer Breakfast has since become the mother of all Washington Power Breakfasts, with thousands of attendees packed into a ballroom at the Washington Hilton and a customary address by the U.S. President. Butina had been allegedly using the breakfast as a back channel for contacts between Russian and American faith leaders and politicians. But it was hardly the only religious connection said to be targeted by Russian actors. Among Butina's contacts with a Russian politician named Alexander Torshkin, and together the pair allegedly attempted to broker a meeting between Trump and Putin before the 2016 U.S. presidential election. The meeting never happened, but its proposed site was a world summit in defense of persecuted Christians in Moscow, organized by Franklin Graham. Representatives for Graham said he was unavailable for an interview with Religion News Service, despite multiple requests. Now, let me pause here to tell you again that I'm reading from the National Catholic Reporter, published August the 8th, 2018. Okay, continuing the article, it says, According to Russian Roulette, the inside story of Putin's war on America and the election of Donald Trump by Michael Isakoff and David Korn, the offer of a meeting between candidate Trump and the Russian president was made by Rick Clay, a conservative activist and one of Torshin's and Butina's alleged emissaries. In an email to Jared Kushner in spring 2016, Clay reportedly pointed out that the optics of Trump's meeting with Putin at an event with world Christian leaders would devastate the Clinton campaign to marginalize Mr. Trump on foreign policy and embolden him further with evangelicals. Kushner reportedly declined Clay's offer, warning him to be careful. Relationships between Russians and American evangelicals extend back more than three decades to Billy Graham's well-publicized visit to Russia in the mid-1980s. The World Congress of Families, a largely evangelical Christian group based in Illinois, was the brainchild of an American historian and a Russian Orthodox mystic who met in Moscow in 1995, according to Mother Jones. But the ties have escalated in recent years, due in part to leadership changes within the Russian Orthodox Church, but also because of political shifts that began in Russia in the early 2010s. Russia's record on religious freedom, especially when it comes to evangelical Christians, remains suspect. The 2017 International Religious Freedom Report, issued by the State Department, listed multiple infringements on religious expression in the region, including scrutinizing the activities of evangelical Christian Russians. The Russian president's affection for the Orthodox Church itself is relatively recent, said Christina Shokek, an expert on the Russian Orthodox Church who teaches at Austrian University at Innsbruck. It's only since 2012, since Putin's third term as president, that traditional values have become the center focus point of the Kremlin, she said. Presenting Russia as the stronghold of traditional family values, the West wants to change the definition of the family by giving rights to gay people and so on. But by the time Trump was inaugurated in 2017, the Kremlin had become what Politico described as the leader of the global Christian right, largely based on an alliance with Russian Orthodox Church Patriarch Kirill, who has been accused of being a former agent of the KGB, or the main security agent of the Soviet Union, in an effort to deploy religion to exert spiritual and possibly political influence across Europe. Graham's public relationship with Trump dates back to at least 2011, when he told ABC News, "The more you listen to Trump, the more you say to yourself, you know, maybe the guy's right." The following year, Trump's foundation reportedly gave the organizational name for Franklin Graham's father, the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, a $100,000 check in 2012, while Samaritan's Purse, a Christian relief group also run by Franklin Graham, received a $25,000 check the same year from Trump, and $10,000 in 2013. Meanwhile, Putin's ideological influence over parts of the American religious right dates back to at least 2014. In March of that year, Putin was featured on the cover of Decision magazine, a publication of the Billy Graham Evangelical Association, in an issue that included an opinion article by Franklin Graham that offered curious praise for the Russian president. The evangelical leader pointed to Putin's decision to sign a law barring the dissemination of propaganda of non-traditional sexual relations to children. It's obvious that President Obama and his administration are pushing the gay lesbian agenda in America today, and have sold themselves completely to that which is contrary to God's teaching, Graham wrote. He later added, "In my opinion, Putin is right on these issues. Obviously, he may be wrong about many things, but he has taken a stand to protect his nation's children from the damaging effects of any gay and lesbian agenda." 8 months later, Metropolitan Hilarion Afelvith, a Russian Orthodox Church official, visited the United States and met with Graham and his father to celebrate the elder evangelist's 96th birthday in North Carolina. Hilarion was no stranger to conservative religionists. In the U.S., according to the Christian Century, Hilarion had visited America in 2011 to deliver a speech at the Catholic University of America, one of the most conservative Catholic schools in the country, and Dallas Theological Seminary, a prominent conservative evangelical institution. He also reportedly met with business leaders in Texas, as well as former President George W. Bush. In 2014, after meeting with Billy Graham in Montreal Metropolitan, Hilarion traveled to Charlotte, North Carolina, to the Billy Graham Evangelical Association headquarters for a summit of Russian faith leaders and U.S. evangelical Christian leaders. In Charlotte, Hilarion met with Galen Carey, Vice President of Government Relations for the National Association of Evangelicals, Jeffrey Bigham, then Associate Dean of Biblical and Theological Studies at Wheaton College, and Clint Arnold, Dean of the Talbot School of Theology, among many of the others who were there. Few of those at the meeting would comment on it, but the Reverend Richard Gibbons, pastor at First Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, cited the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association's long history of forging alliances with Christians in other parts of the world. The idea was, how do we build bridges with the church in Russia to continue Graham's work there? But Don Fairbairn, academic dean of academics at Gordon Cornwall Theological Seminary, said he was not particularly happy with the strong pro-Russian stance of the gathering. I cannot really say what the purpose of the event in Charlotte headquarters was, he said in an email, noting that he almost canceled his own planned speech to the group. Hilarion also addressed the gathering twice, condemning the pointless language of sanctions in response to the Russian annexation of Ukraine and calling on all parties to search for real ways of solving the problems accumulated during the confrontations. According to Christianity Today, Hilarion and other Russian faith leaders then went on to meet in Washington with State Department officials, visit the U.S. Capitol, and gather at the offices of the National Association of Evangelicals. Graham told Christianity Today the effort was meant to build bridges between the U.S., Russia, and Eastern Europe as the crisis raged in the Crimean Peninsula. Talking to RNS about the meeting at the National Association of Evangelicals, Carey argued the event was focused on religion, given the long-standing presence of evangelicals in Russia. But he noted that while the association hosted a reception for the group, only evangelical members of the Russian delegation attended. The Orthodox members, he said, met elsewhere. Carey added that while he didn't see any evidence of overt efforts to co-opt evangelical leaders at the meeting, he acknowledged that, of course, if people were doing things covertly, we wouldn't know. Franklin Graham pursued his connection to Russia in person in November 2015 when he flew to Russia for a speaking tour of several churches. There he met with dignitaries, including Kirill. He also echoed Hilarion's distaste for sanctions during an interview with Russian television, saying, "I've never been a supporter of sanctions." Before he left Moscow, Graham had an unexpected 45-minute meeting with Putin, during which Putin reportedly agreed to assist with the proposed summit on persecuted Christians in Moscow, the event that Torshin later offered as an opportunity for Trump to meet Putin. Later rescheduled for May 2017 in Washington, the summit was attended by a large Russian delegation. Vice President Mike Pence addressed the gathering and met with Hilarion backstage alongside other religious leaders, according to Time magazine. Hilarion did not specifically say what the two discussed beside terrorism, noting, according to Time, that it is only one united international anti-terrorist coalition which can combat terrorism and win. He also reportedly presented Pence with a book about Kirill. Otherwise, the exact details of the conversation remain unclear, as do the identities of all present. Now, that's the end of that article, and that's the first article we read today. It's, as I said before, found in the National Catholic Reporter, and it shows very clearly the connection between the Russian church and Franklin Graham and the evangelicals in America. Now, of course, this ought not be surprising, because this has been something that has been happening for a while, and we have talked about this before on this program. It is the reason why, however, I do believe with all my heart that Trump maintains that kind of relationship, because he knows that the evangelical far right are his supporting crew, his people, and they have long developed this kind of relationship with the Russian evangelicals and with Putin in particular. Another article I'd like to share with you today before we end, it's found in the Atlantic website. The Atlantic website. The writer of the article is Anne Applebaum. Her last name spelt Applebaum. And it was published on December the 12th, 2019. The title of the article, The False Romance of Russia. The title again, The False Romance of Russia. American conservatives who find themselves identifying with Putin's regime refuse to see the country for what it really is. Sherwood Eddy was a prominent American missionary, as well as that now rare thing, a Christian socialist. In the 1920s and 30s, he made more than a dozen trips to the Soviet Union. He was not blind to the problems of the USSR, but he also found much to like. In place of squabbling, corrupt democratic politicians, he wrote in one of his books, on the contrary, Stalin rules by his sagacity, his honesty, his rugged courage, his indomitable will and titanic energy. Instead of the greed he found so pervasive in America, Russians seemed to him to be working for the joy of working. Above all, though, he thought he had found in Russia something that his own individualistic society lacked, a unified philosophy of life. In Russia, he wrote, all life is focused in a central purpose. It is directed to a single high end and energized by such powerful and glowing motivation that life seems to have supreme significance. Eddy was wrong about much of what he saw. Joseph Stalin was a liar and a mass murderer. Russians worked because they were hungry and afraid. The unified philosophy of life was a chimera, and the reality was a totalitarian state that used terror and propaganda to maintain that unity. But Eddy, like others in his era, was predisposed to admire the Soviet Union precisely because he was so critical of the economics and politics of his own country. In his landmark 1981 book, Political Pilgrims, Travels of Western Intellectuals to the Soviet Union, China, and Cuba, Paul Hallander wrote of the hospitality showered on sympathetic Western visitors to the communist world. The banquets in Moscow thrown for George Bernard Shaw. The feasts laid out for Mary McCarthy and Susan Sontag in North Vietnam. But his conclusion was that these performances were not the key to explaining why some Western intellectuals became enamored of communism. Far more important was their estrangement and alienation from their own cultures. Intellectuals critical of their own society proved highly susceptible to the claims put forward by the leaders and spokesmen of the society they inspected in the course of these travels. Hollander was writing about left-wing intellectuals in the 20th century, and many such people are still around paying court to left-wing dictators in Venezuela or Bolivia who dislike America. There are also, in our society, as in others, quite a few people who are paid to help America's enemies or to spread their propaganda. They always have been. But in the 21st century, We must also contend with a new phenomenon. Right-wing intellectuals, now deeply critical of their own societies, who have begun paying court to right-wing dictators who dislike America. And their motives are curiously familiar. All around them, they see degeneracy, racial mixing, demographic change, political correctness, same-sex marriage, religious decline. The America that they actually inhabited no longer matches the white, Anglo-Saxon, Protestant America that they remember or think they remember. And they have begun to look abroad, seeking to find the spirituality, a unified, ethnically pure nation that they imagine are morally stronger than their own. Nations, for example, such as Russia. I'll stop there in that article. But of course, you notice the direction in which this writer is going. She's making the point that there are many today who have become very dissatisfied with their own cultures. And they're looking for these controlled societies. And they would long to see America become one of those controlled societies. Today, our hearts are filled with sorrow at the direction in which we're heading, but filled with joy because God has warned us in advance of what we are seeing around us. And you and I can afford to have faith in Him because He has told us long in advance what will occur. And He has also promised and laid out the kind of protection that will be available to those of us who trust in Him. We thank You, Heavenly Father, that we can trust You. We thank You that in all that we see the fulfillment of Your word, and we also know that Your promises will be carried through. We ask that You would give us the endurance and the strength and the faith necessary to walk with You always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, January the 16th, 2020.